Here's the serve by Holthaus. It's on the way. Beloit has it. Jaden Follis over the Budke. Budke cross court. It's in! They pull it in! And Beloit wins! Warm up the bus and set the GPS to the Sports Arena in Hutchinson as the Beloit Lady Trojans for a third straight season and for the seventh time in the past 9 years are headed to the 3A state tournament, this time riding a school record 35 match winning streak. What a performance. 25-10 in the second set. Beloit, the most points they gave up in any set today was 18. Dominate. Absolute domination.
Pretty impressive stuff from the Beloit Lady Trojans, and they are one of three teams moving on to the state volleyball tournament. It's the three that are the ones that normally go from our area. We've had a few different ones over the years, but these are the three that have been certainly the most consistent. Beloit, St. John's, Tipton, and Smith Center. And we start there with the sports ticket brought to you by Keeper Buzz Automotive. In Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Coming up on the show, we'll talk Chiefs football. I was at the game yesterday, give you some impressions, seeing up close and personal the Chiefs win over the Chargers. We'll hear from Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And also K-State, a convincing win over TCU. We'll hear from Chris Kleiman. Plus, we'll recap the top 25. Nebraska now has a winning record. Stop the presses. And the American League Championship Series is going to a Game 7. The NLCS Game 6 is today between the Phillies and the D-backs. We'll cover all of that and much more. But we're going to start with local sports because we've got volleyball to recap. We have cross-country to recap. And then we have the high school football playoff brackets that are out. Everything converges all at once. I have kind of wondered why Keisha can't spread it out a little bit better. But hey, I'll just stop right there. I don't have enough time on the show. I've told Keisha myself, and I know others probably have too, you know, perhaps have all the football games on Thursday so that the football teams have a better chance of supporting their volleyball teams at state on a Friday morning. Maybe. Maybe they wouldn't be there anyway. Don't know. Whatever. Or maybe just a different schedule altogether. You know, state tennis is way early. I don't know. To me, there has to be a better way than everything being exactly the same time. I just don't know. I mean, it breaks up your all these fans want to support their school activities. It's hard to support all your school activities when they're all playing at the same time at different locations across the state for those schools that are really good and about everything. Mm-hmm. And so here we are. So, and it also selfishly make it easier for us and me not to have all of it at once, but it's a good problem to have that we have all that success. For sure. But what I'm saying is, I think I told Acacia official last year, I said, have you guys ever thought about making sure that all the football games are in the books before you start volleyball in regards to the week of the games, like Thursday, and then, well, I mean, oh, that's a great idea. Oh, come on. Don't act like you haven't heard it before. Now you're patronizing me. But we'll maybe someday it'll get figured out. I don't know. But we will volleyball, cross-country, football, playoffs. That's what we're going to do in order. Number two, Beloit. Number two in the state. Number one seed up at Marysville. Lady Trojans, 37-2. They absolutely just destroyed the competition. Very impressive performance. They are completely, legitimately a state championship contender. If you doubted that before Saturday, you got no more doubts. Beloit swept Riley County. They beat Russell, and they destroyed number three team in the state, Nemaw Central. 25-18, 25-10. I did not see that coming. And I thought we'd go three sets probably, or at least two tight sets. And the first set was tight for a while, and that was about it. Beloit, 37-2. They won 35 straight matches. That's a school record. They haven't dropped a set since September 9th. Let me repeat. They haven't dropped a set. Forget a match. They haven't dropped a set since September 9th. That's 6 weeks ago. They haven't lost a match since the first day of the season when they're at the Hayes tournament. It's just pretty impressive what they've done. They're at state for the seventh time last nine seasons. That's the only seven times they've made it. First time made state was 2015. They've been in state seven of the last nine seasons now. Three straight times to Hutch as well. And they are the number one seed at the 3A state tournament there in Hutchinson. And we'll just go class by class here. Beloit is number one seed, but they have the tougher pool. Yeah. And Beloit's like, you know, what's new? We had the toughest sub-state probably, too, or at least in the final. We thought so. Beloit, the one seed, and I figured Heritage Christian would be in their pool. And that's not the end of the world. That's actually, I'll tell you why that's a good thing here in a moment. But the scary team to me in the pool for Beloit is Smoky Valley. Smoky Valley knows Beloit. Beloit knows them. They play each other every year. They played each other earlier in the year, and Beloit's only had to go to three sets three times this year, and Smoky Valley is one of those teams that took them to three at Southeast Saline. So that's a scary one. They've got one or two players. I know one player is going to play at Fort Hays State, just like Beloit does. They have another. She's a junior. She's a terrific athlete. Smoky Valley's been there at State the last few years. They know all about the environment. They won't not be intimidated. Now, Smoky Valley's got to be sitting there going, oh, dear God, we got the number one and two teams in the state in our pool. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a really good pool. So Beloit's the one seed, and they'll be in the same pool with Heritage Christian, the two-time defending 3A state champion, and they won state the year prior to that in 2A. So they won three straight state championships, and Beloit have Heritage Christian in their pool. Heritage Christian ranked number one in state, Beloit number two, but they seed it by records, not by rankings. Smoky Valley's a five seed. They're 29-11. Heritage Christian 34-4. Beloit 37-2. And Goodland is the eight seed at 23-15. So here's Beloit's schedule. 9:30 a.m. Friday morning, Sports Arena in Hutchison. We'll have it for you. Live radio play-by-play. We're not allowed to stream state tournament stuff. So if you're wondering about that, you'll have to pay for it now. Yep. It was free. Acacia's going to make you pay for it. So, not make you. It's your choice. So, if you want to just listen to the radio and listen to my play-by-play call, Beloit, you can do that. And that's free. Or you can pay to watch it. And in the past, it's been really not good quality, to say the least. Now, maybe it's better. I hope it is. Or, you know what the really best option is? Drive on down to Hutch and be there in person and watch it and support the Beloit Lady Trojans. So, Beloit will play at 9:30 against Goodland. That'll be a heavy favorite in that one. And then they got Smoky Valley at 11:30, and that will, I would assuming they beat Goodland, then Smoky Valley will, if they win that one, then that'll more likely put them into the Saturday semifinals, and then you don't have to worry about beating Heritage Christian to make it to Saturday. So that Smoky Valley match at 11:30 is absolutely just paramount. And then 1:30, it's all about positioning, hopefully, at that time for Beloit Heritage Christian. Top two teams for each pool make it to the state semifinals. So here's the good news. For Beloit fans, if you're freaking out by, oh my God, Heritage Christian's in our pool. That's actually a good thing, because if you want to beat them in the championship match, now that you're in the same pool, this guarantees you won't meet in the semis. As long as Beloit and Heritage Christian both finish the top two of their four teams in their pool, they will be opposite semis. So that way they would meet in the championship if it all works out that way. That's how it's all set up. So if Beloit loses Heritage Christian in the pool play, okay, fine, but you're still in the semifinals. The more important match is the state title match. And I've seen this many times over the years where two teams play each other in a pool, and one team wins the pool play match, and then the next day they play each other again in the championship, and guess what? The other team wins. That's the more important match. Now, it's pretty important, though, if you need the win in pool play to get to Saturday. That's obviously very, very important. But that's how it's shaping up. So that's not a bad thing that Beloit and Heritage Christian are in the same pool for really probably both those teams. Cheney's got to be sitting here going, wow, since we won one more match than Heritage Christian, we got the more favorable pool. Although Silver Lake is always really good. And the last 2 years in 3A volleyball, it's been the exact same eight schools, which had never happened before. This year, there's six of these eight schools that have now gone three straight years.
Mm-hmm.
Six. Nemaw Central's replaced by Silver Lake, in essence. And then Neodesha is the newbie to this whole thing. So Beloit, Smoky Valley, Riverton, Cheney, Heritage Christian, Goodland all were at state last year. So it's just kind of the same ones over and over and over. Isn't that interesting in 3A? So Cheney's in the other pool. They're the three seed. They got Silver Lake. Neodesha, I question. You know, to me, Neodesha, probably their strength of schedule is not great. I don't expect them to come out of their pool. But because of their record, that puts them above Heritage Christian and Smoky Valley and others. I don't think anybody's going to doubt that, you know, there's teams with double-digit losses that are better, perhaps, than the Neodesha. But we'll find out. They could prove me wrong. Riverton, Cheney, Neodesha, Silver Lake, and the other pool. So once again, Beloit, Heritage Christian, Smoky Valley, and Goodland in one pool. You can follow that. It's at ncksports.com, ncksports.com, and all the pairings are at acacia.org. You can check all that. That's 3A. Then we go down, we'll go 3-2-1A. So now we go to 2A, Dusty, where Smith Center is going to state for the 10th time in 11 years. And they, too, much like Beloit, dominated their competition and cruised to a state appearance.
Yeah, seventh straight state tournament as well. So they dominated on Saturday, a pretty relatively easy path. New Hill City wouldn't be much of a problem. And then when the semis there as well against had it in front of me, and then I lost it. They won the championship over Bennington, though, very, very easily. And so they get that win 25-11 and 25-13 as Smith Center, again, is 36-4. It was a complete domination there on Saturday. They beat TMP in the semis in two, and then beat Bennington in the championship match. TMP is the one that knocked out Lincoln out of the tournament there in 2A up there at Belleville. So, yeah, total domination again there for Smith Center, and I think that Coach Lynn was excited and happy that they didn't have to go out west, and it's really good they didn't have to go out west to face Hoxie, because I think you get another good team at state because of that. And you know, Hoxie will be there with a 4-loss record as well from the Mid-Continent League. So the big thing about Smith Center is they have been challenged this year, and they seem to be playing their best volleyball here at the end of the year. I mean, they dominated at the finals of the MCL tournament against Hoxie and Norton, and then just cruised through this sub-state. So yeah, the Lady Red looking really good right now. As far as them going to state, it's, you know, you're breaking down, you know, the pools there for 3A, and 2A is not an easy pool for Smith Center, but I think you can, I don't know what Maranatha Academy has as the number 5 seed with 8 losses, but it really looks like the top 4 and the bottom 4 are really separated here at state in Class 2A, just based on history and what I've seen at state. I've never seen Maranatha at state, though, so I don't know if they might be a good team, and what they've, I have not done the research on their schedule yet and things like that, but you've got the top 4 seeds here that really have a lot of experience or have had really good records this year, with Smith Center being the 1 at 36-4, and then Inman's the 2 at 35-4, Hoxie's the 3 at 33-4. So Smith Center is just basically the one seed because they had more matches this year and got up to 40 matches and had 36 wins. And then you got Hillsborough, the 4 seed, at 34-5. So they're the defending state champions. You know, they've had battles with Smith Center at state plenty of times here in the past, and Smith Center beat them 2 years ago. Yeah, Smith Center beat them 2 years ago in the championship. So, you know, they know each other, and you know those are two really good teams. Similar to what you talked about with Beloit, they'll be in the same pool with Beloit and Heritage Christian. Smith Center and Hillsborough will be in the same pool there at 2A. So there's a situation there where you might not want that, but at the same time, you might end up playing them again in the championship match. Mm-hmm. Inman's going to have something to say about that. I'm going to tell you that right now. So Inman nearly beat Smith Center last year in pool play, and would have set up Smith Center against Hillsborough in the semis instead of what happened in getting back to the championship. So, so yeah, 1 seed Smith Center, 4 seed Hillsborough, and also 5 seed Maranatha Academy that I mentioned is 31-8, and then Sedan's the 8 seed, 26-12, will also be part of Smith Center state pool there in Dodge City. They'll start at 4:30 actually in pool one there on Friday afternoon in Dodge City against Sedan, the 8 seed. Then at 6:30 they'll take on the 5 Maranatha Academy, and then at 8:30 they'll play Hillsborough, kind of like you talked about with Beloit, hopefully in a situation where they're going for just placing to see where they're going to be in the semifinals. So it'll be very interesting in that one. So
yeah, the schedule works out pretty good for us on Friday for the volleyball side of things on Katy Country 94. So we'll have Beloit at 9:30, 11:30, 1:30, then Smith Center at 4:30, 6:30, and 8:30. Dusty will be in Dodge. I'll be in Hutch for the play-by-play of those. All of that will be on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. Once again, no video streaming. Not allowed to do that. That's all radio play-by-play. We'll paint the picture for you the best that we can. Now, we are working on... we have a staff of 2 full-time people, and there's 3 volleyball teams that made it to state front area in 3 different locations. See, there's another thing, Case, you can make a little bit easier that some other states do, and that is not have everything spread all over the place. But
I was talking with a guy in Topeka at the K-State game on Saturday, and Dan was like, you know, a lot of states have figured out how to put this in all one place.
Yes.
And just stagger it, right? And
yes.
He's like... And that's why I was like, do you cover volleyball? He's like, no, it's too many teams. Like, yeah. and it's all in different spots. I can't. I was like, yeah, we got 3 in 3 which, different places with 2 on the staff.
Which that hurts the sport of volleyball in promotion of their sport and in the marketing of their sport here in the state of Kansas.
Yeah.
It doesn't help. And so St. John's Tipton, and here's the thing that's interesting. You know, like 3A and 4A are at Hutch, okay? So at least you have 2 tournaments in one spot, right? And you've got Dodge City, you got 1A Division 1 and 2A, which it would make more sense to just have all 1A at 1, but it makes it confusing. And then standalone is 1A Division 2 in Emporia. And that's the one that's the outlier.
And they just do it in the middle of the day.
Yeah, and they have different times compared to everybody else. It blows my mind. But anywho, and by the way, Emporia is not a great place to play state volleyball. Here's why. Unless it's changed from when I was there in 2015 and 16, you can't jump serve.
there's not a lot enough room there. Yeah. Now, maybe that's changed. I don't know how it would have, but anyway, we are working on it. We are working on it. Remember, we had two full-time people. We haven't cloned ourselves yet. Haven't got to that technology, yeah, which is good or bad for people if we did. Good in this case. So we are doing, I've got a plan. It looks like it's in place. Working on it here to have St. John's Tipton on the radio on Z96.3 The Lake on Friday and then hopefully Saturday. We've got KU football on Saturday as well. And of course, that game's at 11 a.m. So that part doesn't work out so well for us if St. John's Tipton makes it Saturday. But we've always said local is over state and state's over, you know, local, regional, then state, then national. That's how we go.
Yep.
So St. John's Tipton Blue Jay fans out there, we are working on it. And we haven't got it all figured out yet. We are doing our best to make it happen. I can't guarantee it will, but I feel fairly confident we can. But believe me, it's not for a lack of trying. That's
no,
for damn sure. And we, with a staff of two, do way more than other stations with a much bigger staff. So we would love that flexibility of having more people. That would be great. Doesn't a lot of businesses want more flexibility with more,
yes,
people? That's a problem across the country for some businesses, including our own. So we will work on that. But St. John's Tipton, Dusty, they go on the state. They, too, are on a roll, just like Beloit and Smith Center going in the state. They won 23 in a row, and they were pushed. Unlike Smith Center and Beloit, they were pushed in a couple of their matches, but they elevated their game and came through with flying colors. Go to state for the second straight season there in Emporia.
Yeah, two battles in you know, Stacy Perez, we talked to on Friday, she's like, don't look at these records because it's not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. And that was the case. They slipped by Otis Bison in two, but both scores were 25, 23, and 23. So it was not an easy match there in the semifinals after they had a first round bye. And then in the championship match, it did. It went three against Pawnee Heights. And Pawnee Heights had just got done playing a three set match against Victoria. So St. John's Tipton was rested, came out and won the first set 25-8. And then Pawnee Heights took the second 25-23. And then it was St. John's Tipton winning 25-16 in the final match to get that championship. They're moving on to state for the second straight season. They're 35-3 on the season. On the schedule on NCKSSports.com, it'll show 24 straight wins, but again, that bye counts, so that's 23 straight contested matches that St. John's Tipton has won heading into state. They'll be the number two seed at Emporia. And in very good position in their pools. I'm not real sure what to expect on a lot of these schools because I haven't covered them a long time, but St. John's Tipton is number two seed at 35-3. Lebo's the one, 36-2, and probably the favorite going into state. Argonia is the number three seed at 38-4. Hanover's the four, 32-6. Wheatland Grinnell is the five, six seed Wallace County, seven Elyria Christian, and eight Buckland. So it'll be St. John's Tipton, Argonia, Wallace County, and Elyria Christian. Wallace County's 26-14, and Elyria Christian 23-15. Those will be the teams in the pool. They'll be in pool two. As St. John's Tipton, the two seed, will play at 11 on Friday morning against Elyria Christian, the number seven. And they'll have another match off, and they'll play at 1 against 6 seed Wallace County. Then they'll play at 3 o'clock against the 3 seed Argonia. So that's a look at the schedule for the Letty Jays coming up here on Friday at White Auditorium in Emporia, 1A Division 2 State Volleyball Tournament.
Those are approximate times, by the way, because many times, yeah, these state tournaments get moved back. All it takes is one three-set match, and the whole schedule is backed,
yeah,
up.
The only one you can pretty much guarantee is the first one, and then after, yep, that, you're like, yeah, hopefully everything goes right.
That's exactly right, no doubt. So St. John's Tipton, congrats on making state yet again in 1A Division 2. 1A Division 1, I just want to note here that Clifton Clyde made it to state, and they'll be the number six seed. South Gray is the one, Little River the two, Spearville the three, Centralia, of course, almost always there. They're the four, Wichita Central Christian the five, Clifton Clyde the six, Opie the seven, and Rollins County is the number eight seed. Clifton Clyde will be playing at 8:30 in the morning in their first match against Spearville coming up on Friday there in Dodge City United Wireless Arena. So that is a look at volleyball. Congratulations to St. John's Tipton, Smith Center, and Beloit making it to the state tournament yet again. One quick thing before we adjust to cross country, and then we'll go to high school football playoffs. I just want to give a shout out there to, well, let me set this up. In football, we've talked about who gets all the glory or a lot of the criticism, and that is the quarterback. In volleyball, it's the spikers. It's the hitters. Yeah. They get all the stats. They get all the kills. They get more recognition. Usually, they got really amazing stats, or if they have an off night, it's really, it really can see it, right? But the quarterback
can't do what he does if somebody doesn't block in front of him. So the offensive line is underappreciated and doesn't get credit when things go well. But when they break down and Mahomes gets sacked five times, so the Chiefs offensive line stinks, right? They don't talk about how great it was when it was going well. Underappreciated in volleyball are the setters and the libero. The setters, if you don't have a good setter, you have no chance. I'm going to repeat this.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't have a good setter in volleyball, I don't care how good your hitters are. If you don't have a good setter, you have no chance of being super successful. No chance. And so the setters are amazing. And you know, I'm watching the Fallis twins. Kaylin is a libero, and she does great on service returns and digs and diving all over the place. And that's what the libero usually does, where they have the freedom to go wherever they want. Libero in Italian means free, if you didn't know that. So libero or libero, I've always been told libero. That's what I've said for years. That's what I go with. There's acceptable two ways of pronouncing it. But the libero, who has the different colored jersey, if you watch volleyball, can go anywhere they need to. And then you've got the setter or setters. If you have a 6-2 offense, you have two setters. If you have a 5-1 offense, you have one setter. And I just want to shout out to the setters and the liberos out there for these volleyball teams, because if they don't play well, their team doesn't usually do well. And you don't get to where your great hitters are going boom, 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 kill, 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 right?
Yeah.
So they need to be acknowledge, much like offensive linemen do when they protect their quarterback, and the quarterback doesn't even get they touch him, and he throws for 424 yards and four touchdowns like Mahomes did yesterday. So shout out to the setters and the liberos that help make their team go. And obviously it's a total team effort. I'm not trying to leave anybody out, but those two positions I think are greatly, greatly underappreciated.
The libero has to be very quick and be able to move and do a lot of different things. But I agree with you, because you know they're on the floor, right? And you know they're doing a good job. But if there's some mistakes that start happening there, they stand out.
Right.
And, yeah, if you're a libero, you don't want to stand out.
No.
You want to just do your job. And,
right.
And that's kind of like an offensive lineman, right? They do their job. We don't even think about them, right?
Kind of like officials. If they do their job.
Absolutely.
And if you don't hear anything about officiating, it means they did a great job.
Yeah, but this is a sport where if you're not working together as a team, it's worthless, to be completely honest with you, right? Like, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
If you can't pass and set, there's going to be some issues with your hitters. They're not going to get the opportunities that they need. And so if you have just a working – it's like a mechanism, right? Like it's like the cogs in the wheel, right? It's like all that has to be working the right way for you to have success in this sport.
Absolutely.
And if it's not, it will show quickly.
And I saw that in obviously the first and second round matches, sub-state, and then you get to the final, and it's just a completely different level.
Yeah, and then you see the like regular season, some of these teams against other teams, and it's like, oh boy, this is a tough one. And then you see it less and less the further you go into the tournament here. And,
right.
And at state, you're not seeing a whole lot of that. It's just, you know, it's a mistake here or there. It's not a consistent thing where you're just not as good, right?
Exactly.
So state, that's why state's always fun, and that's why usually sub-state championships are pretty fun, and you get a chance to see some really, really good volleyball. So
no question.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get that out there. All right. We've got a lot of athletes going to state cross country. Good news from over the weekend in regional cross country.
Yeah, I will say real quick, too, for all the results from sub-state volleyball, all those scores and brackets, everything's at ncksports.com. But, yes, we do have a large contingency of area athletes that have made it to the state cross country meets in 1A, 2A, and 3A. Took me quite a while yesterday to compile all that, because I was doing it for NCKS Sports and for the Katy Country 94 and Z96.3 listening area. But we're just going to focus on, obviously, on the radio area here. The St. John's boys and Osborne girls each took home the team titles at the 1A regional in Sabetha Saturday. Osborne won by just 1 point to get that team title. With those team championships, they advanced their entire teams to the state cross country meet coming up in Wamego on Saturday. Ryan Berticelli of Osborne finished second in the girls race. Kate Kendig was fifth. St. John's also qualified their full girls team for state Their top finisher was Christiane Nieuwald in sixth place. Cody Hill of Sylvan Lucas was fourth. Brianna Reeves of Pike Valley, seventh to qualify for state as well. Then on the boys' side, Johnny Hamel and Aiden Conrad of Osmer, both qualifying for state in fourth and fifth place, respectively. Nicholas Nieuwald, top finisher for St. John's in 10th place, and also qualifying on the boys' side, Harlan Pancost of Sylvan Lucas and Luke Hollerick from Tipton. So they've all had good seasons, and congratulations to all of them. Again, they're headed to the 1A state cross-country meet in Wamego. At 2A in Wamego, there will be Smith Center freshman Madison Howland. She continued her outstanding season, a regional title with a time of 18:58.26. It was 39 seconds better than the second place finisher, Boydston from Ellis, there at 2A in Great Bend. So Howland is really on track to have a really good freshman season and finish it off as she goes to state in Wamego. Smith Center also qualified Serena Armconnect for state on the girls' side, and then Gavin Hickert headed to state for the Redmond boys. Also at 2A in Hutchinson, Lincoln's Olivia Dale qualified for state. Then at 3A, the one we were watching and just missing out were a couple other Beloit boys, but Lance Lundeen finished in fifth place for the Beloit boys at the 3A regional meet in Great Bend. Lance is headed to state for the fourth straight year, every year of his high school career. He's made it to the state cross country meet. A nice fifth place finish there at the regional on Saturday there in Great Bend. And again, he'll go to state 3A's in Lawrence at Rimrock Farm again for the Trojans, Lance Lundeen. And he'll be running the state cross country meet coming up on Saturday. You can find all the qualifiers from the North Central Kansas area, and also all the qualifiers from the entire state. The list of regional cross country results, the time schedules, everything like that is at the story at ncksports.com. You'll have everything you need to know about the area athletes that are headed to state cross country coming up on Saturday.
All right, congratulations. Best of luck to them at state cross country. All right, high school football playoffs will begin on Thursday in 8-man. There will be a few 11-man games get moved to Thursday from Friday, sometimes to accommodate so they can support the volleyball team. Sometimes that doesn't happen. Just kind of depends on the situation. Let's start in Class 3A, where Concordia is the 4 seed out of their district, and tough draw there. They'll take on Wichita Collegiate at Wichita Collegiate, 7 o'clock on Friday in 3A first-round action. Class 2A, Minneapolis will be at Silver Lake. Silver Lake, a heavy favorite in that one. Minneapolis 4-4. Southeast Saline, undefeated district champs, blew out Ellsworth the other night, 30-0. They'll host Anthony Harper Chaparral. High school is just 1-6, so that should be easy for Southeast. Hoisington will host Phillipsburg. Phillipsburg came away out of a three-way tie for the third and fourth spots in the Beloit district. Phillipsburg ends up being number 4. Russell's the odd one out by 1 point. So Phillipsburg will go to Hoisington. TMP ends up being the 3 seed. They'll be at Larned. And Beloit is the 2 out of their district. They get a home game against the Lakin Broncos. Lakin's 4-4. Beloit's 4-4. Beloit beat Lakin a couple years ago, 53-6. These two teams definitely drastically different than a few years ago. I just want to point this out. Lakin lost in 4 overtimes to Larned. They were 1 play away from winning. The difference between 1 play is a 4.5-hour bus ride to Beloit or being at home. So Lakin gets to go all the way to Beloit. And that game is going to be at 7 o'clock. It is at 7 o'clock, I've been told by Athletic Director Kyle Beiser. Mm-hmm. It'll be at 7 o'clock, so that helps me a little bit. And not because that's why it is. That just it helps me a little bit. I'm not
they
saying
did that
they did not do
you.
That for me. Trust me. They didn't know anything. Tad Dikesh is never doing anything for any. Yeah. Anywho, Norton is hosting Cimarron. Norton won their district, the same district Beloit was in, and Ellsworth is a 2 seed out of their district. They get a home game against Haven on Friday at 7 o'clock. So that's Class 2A. I'll come back to that in a moment. Class 1A, Smith Center, winning their district over Valley Heights on Friday night. A nice win for Smith Center. They will take on Belle Plaine at home on Thursday. See, that's one of those situations where they're moving from Friday to Thursday, more than likely, so that Smith Center can get down there and support their Lady Red at volleyball at Dodge City, and I commend them for making that happen. That'll be Thursday, Smith Center and Belle Plaine. Smith Center should roll in that one. Yeah. That's really only noteworthy team from our area in 1A. And then 8-man Division 1, Lincoln will be at Atwood, Rollins County. Lincoln is 5-3, and Rollins County is 7-1. That's 8-man Division 1 playoffs coming up on Thursday. And then Clifton Clyde will host Hill City. Clifton Clyde 6-2. 8-man Division 2, it is Lakeside hosting Hanover. Lakeside 6-2, Hanover 4-4. That'll be a 6 o'clock kickoff, I've been told. So we'll have pregame at 5:30 on Z96.3 Lake. Dusty will have the call, hand over Lakeside, and then he'll head to Dodge City, well, probably the next day. You don't have to do it. You don't have to go that night. But
yeah, I got some time, thankfully.
A little bit of time there, finally. So Lakeside hosting Hanover. We'll have that one, Z96.3 Lake, pregame at 5:30, kickoff at 6. And that means we'll have Beloit hosting Lakin on KD Country 94, KDCountry94.com. Live video stream, NCKSSports.com, the Beloit Trojan channel. That'll be a pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7, Lakin at Beloit on Friday. Okay, so we got Lakeside and Hanover Thursday. And then we got Beloit and Lakin on Friday in regards to the football. St. John's Tipton will have a tough task. They'll be on the road at Frankfort. St. John's Tipton 2-6, Frankfort 6-2. Is that a 7 o'clock or is that?
I've not heard on that one actually.
All right.
Usually they play at 6 up there. So
okay. Axtell is hosting Wakefield. That will be not pretty. Axtell undefeated, Wakefield 1-7. Thunder Ridge, district runner-up, they will host Central Plains. Thunder Ridge 5-3, Central Plains 6-2. Sylvan Lucas, district runner-up, 7-1 on the year, will host St. Francis, who went 2-5 during the regular season. So we've got a very busy few days coming up, no doubt. And I hope everybody out there appreciates the coverage that we are providing with a staff of two. And now we're going to have somebody that's going to help us out, hopefully, like I said, to help us be three. So we are going to do our best to get everything covered like we always try to do. And so we will have Thursday football with Hanover and Lakeside on Z96.3 Lake, pregame at 5:30, kickoff at 6. Friday morning, I'll have Beloit volleyball and into the afternoon hours on KD Country 94. Then I'll hand the baton to Dusty over in Dodge City. I'll throw it all the way from Hutch to Dodge. Dusty's going to catch it. Please don't let it hit you in the head and knock you out. Then we're in trouble again. And Dusty will have Smith Center volleyball starting at 4:30 around there. And the rest of the night, closing that out on KD Country 94. And I will go back to Beloit Friday night. And we'll put, actually I said this wrong. So Beloit and Lakin will have to be on Z96.3 the Lake.
I didn't even hear you say what station the football game was going
to
be.
This is where I get confused as to one football game Thursday when everything should be Thursday and then another football game on Friday. So Beloit, the football games Thursday and Friday will be, actually we could have Lakeside Hanover on D, couldn't we?
We can, yeah.
We're doing this on the fly, people. Yeah. This is what we do. I didn't get much sleep. Dusty probably didn't either.
None of us have. I actually stayed up here last night for a while just to get some stuff done.
I got back from the Chiefs game, and I started working on stuff. So whatever I've told you, just erase all that, as Mike Schrant would say. Well, not all of it. Let me go over the skin. So we can do Lakeside Hanover on KD Country 94. We will do that. Lakeside Hanover, KD Country 94, Thursday night. Pre-game at 5:30.
Yes.
I'm saying this out loud just to help myself.
Yes.
Then Friday we'll have Beloit and Smith Center Volleyball on KD Country 94, on KDCountry94.com. We'll have Beloit and Lakin football playoff game Friday night on Z96.3 The Lake. So I get to shift stations within the same day, and I shift towns in the same day.
Yeah.
And then I'll go back to Hutchison either late Friday night or super early Saturday morning if Beloit moves on to Saturday, and bring in Beloit volleyball, hopefully in the semifinals and championship match on KD Country 94. Dusty hopefully will have Smith Center to cover on Saturday on KD Country 94 in the afternoon. And St. John's Tipton, Lady Blue Jays, we're working on it, as I said. All their volleyball would be on Z96.3 The Lake, okay, to make that nice and clear.
Yes.
So there, it would be Friday and Saturday if we can make that happen. I haven't told you it's official yet, people, so don't run with this yet. I'm letting you in on a little secret that we're working on it. That doesn't mean... I had people... It is interesting. I can tell when people don't listen to the station. It's not that hard. You know how? When people say, Substate Volleyball is not on the radio? We've never one single time in the history since I've been here have we had Substate Volleyball on the radio. We've never promoted Substate Volleyball on the radio. We've never done Substate Volleyball on the radio. Substate.
Yeah.
We've done video stream with Beloit. Video stream. So I always know. And then a fun part, too, is when we promote the crap out of it. We put it all over social media. We have it on the radio over and over and over to nauseam. And then I have somebody that doesn't live that far away from me. No offense to them, but they're just clearly not staying connected. And it's okay. I get it. Everybody's got things going on in their life and so forth and so on. You can't promote to every single person. You can't walk up to every door and say, hey, we're doing this. But it tells me who does and doesn't listen.
or doesn't. I'm amazed at people that don't understand. There's a website called nckssports.com. It's like got everything you need. It's for crying out loud. All you got to do is remember nckssports.com, and you've got everything right there, basically at your fingertips. And I've got people asking after Substate Volleyball was over, and I posted the results on Facebook, on multiple pages, on Twitter, and had it on the video stream. And I have people asking, "Where's the results?" Well, you're not looking very hard. Yeah. You're not looking very hard, or you don't. I guess you're out of the loop. I mean, it's folks. I know what happens to people. You've got to get with it when it comes to the internet.
Absolutely.
I don't know what else to tell you. That
is not there yet, man.
If you're not into the internet yet, you are light years behind everybody else. But people, I know you might not like it. If you don't have a smartphone, you're way behind everybody as well. Okay? I know some things can be intimidating where it's hard to understand how to run certain things. I get that. And I'll be fuddy-duddy when I get older too. But you're way behind. You've got to be on either Facebook, you got to be on Twitter, you got to be on some kind of social media platform. That's the best way to get a lot of information. Okay? But if you don't want to even do that though, if you don't want to do on Facebook and Twitter, you sure as heck got to be on the internet. I mean, you've got to be. It ain't like the old days where, you know, we're doing the Morse code and the what was it called? Telegraphs or not telegraphs? What the heck was it? Telegrams.
Yeah,
we've moved on past that. So I always chuckle and laugh hysterically when I'm amazed that, like, sometimes the next day, where's the scores? Did you even look?
Yeah,
it's. I mean, the problem is you don't know where to look. You know, here's the thing. It's called Google. And there's other, what is it, Ask Jeeves, whatever you want to call them. And you just type in. This is how I get information. And my wife's even guilty of this. She's like, "Well, how do you do such and such?" I said, "I don't know." And I typed it. Here's how you do it.
We fall into the crutch that we had growing up in life, right?
Yes.
Like it's okay
to ask.
Part of that is like a pride thing of I want to remember it.
Right.
I don't want to look on Google.
Right.
I want to remember it. And then finally you're like, let's just go to the computer that's in my pocket and find out what we need to do here.
Right. Right. It's just, I mean, it blows me away. And so the easiest, simplest thing I can say is if you want to be in the loop information-wise, you've got to be doing various things. You got to be listening to the radio. You got to be on social media. You got to be on the internet. You got to be able to actually type in a search on Google. And you can get information very, very, very quickly. So there's only so much we can do. We can't sit there with you at home and type in all the things you need to get to. All right. I'm not trying to be too self-deprecating here, but it's like, goodness, I'm just shaking my head going, it's 2023, not 1923. But anywho, I digress.
Just confirm that St. John's Tipton is a 7 o'clock kickoff.
It is 7.
Yeah.
Okay. It's 7 o'clock there on the road at Frankfurt. John Bowden is my backup. Not backup. He's my plan right now on St. John's Tipton volleyball. John Bowden just texted me. Blue Jay fans, you can hold him to this now. This is where I pass the buck conveniently. John Bowden says, and I quote, "You can tell St. John's fans come hell or high water, I will be there." Because I asked John Bowden if he would be available.
He was in my mind, and I was going to talk to you about him today, but you beat me to it.
I haven't had time to talk with you. You rolled in right when we were going on the air.
I was very late out here last night.
Right?
I'm like, I'm going to get another hour of sleep here.
I get it. I got back late.
That's why we're doing this all with you guys.
This is like an open, it's an open office meeting for everybody to hear.
See what it's like.
This is what we go through here.
The studios.
It's the most.
We're trying to figure out who we want to cover, when we want to cover.
It's the most discombobulated sports ticket we've ever had, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, if you call right now, nobody will answer because we're the only two people that work here. So anywho. In fact, it's so great that when people win their movie tickets, they learn now just to walk in and grab them. They don't even bother us when we're on the air. They know. They understand it.
You see that big pile of orange stuff up there? Yeah. Just figure out which one has your name on it and go get it.
And if your name's not there, sit on the couch and wait an hour and we'll get to you, or just leave and come back. So, yeah, a lot going on. A lot going on. And we will... And so spread the word too, you know, spread the word to people, you know, and there's a difference between video streaming and radio broadcast. Okay. Just doing one doesn't mean you're automatically doing the other. I mean, usually we do, but not always. And you know,
I had somebody say, "Why don't you do sub-state volleyball play-by-play?" I'm like, because, well, we all have lives.
Yeah.
We have family, and we can't do every single thing. I mean, we, like I said, the staff of two, we're doing everything that we can. And
the staff of two at in sub-state, we're talking about three different places in state. In sub-state, we're talking five or
right.
six different spots.
Yeah.
And
how do we choose?
How do we choose who we're going
to
do in that?
How do we how do we choose leaving anybody out? And then and we have to do that. We can't cover every football team that's in the football playoffs either. But we got to do logistics where the games are at. You know, usually we try to do road games from depending. But once again, when you got volleyball the very next morning, that comes into the equation. You know, it's just like any other business. You know, we sit here and you go into a fast food restaurant and go, "Why the hell ain't I get my food when I want it? Well, maybe they're short-staffed. Maybe something went wrong in the kitchen. And you just automatically get mad about it. You have no idea what it takes to get the food ready for you. And it's the same thing. Well, why is it taking so long for me to get into the doctor's office? Well, there's an emergency and the doctor had to go try to save somebody's life instead of getting you on your schedule so you can get home by 5 o'clock to, you know, have a popsicle. Okay? There things happen. Well, why is it taking so long for them to get in and see my? I need my car fixed. I need it fixed right away. Yeah, get in line. There's 8 other people need their car fixed too.
Yeah.
And so we all get riled up and why don't everybody's supposed to take care of you and not anybody else? Is basically the mentality. And the same thing comes with, you know, with radio and TV or whatever else it might be. Is that's kind of behind the scenes look at how we try to get some things organized and put together to cover as much as we can. Can we cover every single thing? No, we can't. There's only so much time, and there's only so much resources, and so forth and so on. We only have so many stations. And it's a great problem to have multiple schools and teams doing very well. And like I said, if we could spread out some of this stuff just a little bit,
yeah,
as I started at the beginning of the show, that would make things a lot better for probably everybody involved. But, yeah. Anywho. Coming up, the Chiefs win yesterday.
Winter is just around the corner, and now is a good time to get your vehicle ready. I'm Elijah at Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit. We offer free antifreeze testing so you can be sure your vehicle is ready for those cold winter mornings ahead. If your antifreeze needs serviced, we have antifreeze flushes on sale this month for $25 off. For fast, friendly auto repair, visit Kiefer Brothers just south of the courthouse in Beloit or online at KieferBrothers.com.
First and 10 Chiefs with a 3-3 tie at the 46 of the Chargers. A fake handoff to McKinnon. Now Mahomes darting to his right. He's holding it, fires it late. He's got Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Right sideline, 10, 5, stretches out with the left shoulder. Touchdown, Kansas City. No flags on the field. This one stands for 46 yards.
Chiefs win yesterday over the Chargers. Welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. The Chiefs are now 6-1. Remember when the sky was falling and they lost to the Lions? That was cute. We tried to tell people at the time, just stop. You're not going to go 20-0. The Chiefs have won 6 in a row. They're the best team in the AFC now. They have a full game lead on everybody in the conference. They have a 2-game lead over the Bills now. Which, what's wrong with the Bills? And you think the Chiefs have problems. The Chiefs beat the Chargers 31-17 yesterday. Chargers now 2-4. You think the Chiefs have problems. Chargers 2-4, and they'll be lucky to get a wild card. Chiefs led 24-17 at half. I was saying this last week. I said, you know what? The defenses have been great, but there's going to be a time where the offense is going to have to carry the defense because defense is human. They're not going to be lights out all the time. That's exactly what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
I got a front row seat to it. I had unbelievable seats, had a connection, so forth and so on. Got to sit in the front row with my oldest son. Oh, my nice. God, what an experience that was. We were on the 40-yard line front row. Nobody in front of us. Oh, dear Lord, that was awesome and glorious. The only bad thing is the long line going back up when you got to go to the bathroom because you're at the very bottom. You got to work your way up. And we got some great pictures and everything.
First world
else.
Problems, right?
Yeah.
When you're sitting in the
exactly.
front row, you got to walk all the way up.
I must be sitting in the front row. Oh, God, I got to wait in line. Got to walk all the way up these stairs. Everybody's like, boo hoo hoo. Must be rough to be you. But just amazing seats. Never had anything like that in my life. And so it was really a blast. And the credit card bill will continue to pay for that for a while. I had a connection, but I still had to pay.
Yeah.
They were not free, that's for sure. But it was a great experience. And both offenses looked great in the first half, the Chiefs and the Chargers, and Chiefs defense had issues. There was, you know, they gave up the big run to Kelly, they gave up the big pass to Palmer, they had some breakdowns defensively. And so at halftime, Patrick Mahomes was 20 of 23 for 321, three touchdowns, one interception. For the game, Mahomes goes 424 yards, four touchdowns. But in the second half, the Chiefs defense showed up. So the offense compensated for the defense struggling in the first half. Offense did what it had to do. And then the second half, the defense shut down the Chargers. Chargers had 125 yards of offense second half and 0 points. And the Chiefs only scored one touchdown in the second half. That's complimentary football, people. That's why this team is better than any other team Patrick Mahomes has been on in his entire life. I said life because Texas Tech had no defense ever.
No.
It's the first time Patrick Mahomes has actually had a legitimate defense. I mean, fully capable defense week in and week out. And the Chiefs made adjustments at halftime. Clearly they did. Omenihu getting him for San Francisco as a free agent. He had a sack yesterday, batted a ball to end up being an interception. His presence was felt. McDuffie made some big-time tackles, seeing that up close and personal. McDuffie's an amazing tackler. He is so good. You get to appreciate him up close and personal. The Chiefs win the game 31-17. And for all the people freaking out of the Chiefs offense, which we've been trying to tell everybody for weeks, chill out. The Chiefs have a thing called a track record where they get things figured out when they really need to get them figured out. So Nick Wright put this out there. The Chiefs, and he put in quotation marks, struggling offense by the numbers right now. You ready for the struggling offense?
Yes.
Man, I would love... I hate to know what the worst offense, what you call it in the league. So the Chiefs struggling offense by the numbers after yesterday. And they didn't score 51. They scored 31. They only scored 7 in the second half. The Chiefs struggling offense by the numbers. They're 5th in the league in points. That's pretty good. They're 2nd in the league in passing yards. That's pretty good. They've had the lead in a lot of these games. Number 2 in passing touchdowns. That's pretty good. Mahomes is tied for the league lead as a quarterback in touchdowns. I thought he was having a down year. Chiefs are number 4 in passer rating. And Patrick Mahomes is 3rd in QBR. But yet this offense is struggling. Now, the Chiefs have done all that despite having the 7th most turnovers in the NFL. And about 2 or 3 games where they call Juwan Taylor for 6 penalties every game. Once the turnovers stop, which they will, they'll be the best offense in football. The Dolphins, supposedly the best offense in football, were held to 17 points, and 10 of those were gifted on turnovers by the Eagles last night. So the Dolphins, even when they're as great and glorious as they are, they don't score 50 every game. Mahomes played great, except for that one throw he tried to go to McCole Hardman. He had McKinnon wide open the right flat, I know, because I was right there. He forced it. I think he premeditated that one. He was like, I'm just going to go there and see Hardman make a play. Hardman and Mahomes have never been on the same page, really, ever, in regards to deep balls. But Hardman came back. More on him in a moment. Do the Chargers know that Travis Kelce is good?
I asked that about a lot of teams, but... they should. They play him twice a year.
Kelce lights up the Chargers like a Christmas tree. I mean, it's insane how Kelce is so wide open almost all the time against the Chargers. 12 catches, 179 yards, and a touchdown. In the first half, he was 9 targets, 9 catches, 143 yards. And then we got a MVS sighting. Scantling, 3 catches, 84 yards, and a touchdown. That was big. Rashee Rice with another touchdown reception. And then something that a lot of people aren't talking about, and this is where it really benefited me being sitting that close to the field yesterday that I really saw it. So we were behind the Charger bench. We could heckle the crud out of them if we wanted to. I had a few things I threw out there. Nice, not vulgar, anything like that. When the Chiefs scored their touchdown for halftime, I said, for crying out loud, the Broncos defense held us to 19. And the defensive players were on our side.
Yeah.
But Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack are paid a ton of money to get to the quarterback. And I think they got to Mahomes once yesterday.
Yeah.
The offensive line needs to get more credit. The Chiefs, this is one of the worst offensive lines. I think it's one of their better ones. Dalvin Smith gets called for holding. Juwan Taylor, he needs to be benched. He's got too many penalties. Yesterday, Juwan Taylor didn't have a lot of help. He had a little bit of chipping. But he was going up against Joey Bosa, and he did a damn good job. And Donovan Smith did a pretty good job on Khalil Mack. And sometimes they flip it. Sometimes they rotate where they weren't even on the field at the same time. Those guys have paid a ton of money to get to the quarterback. And Mahomes had a lot of time to throw yesterday. You want to know why Mahomes was 20 of 23 in the first half? You want to know why he threw for 424 yards and 4 touchdowns?
because he had a nice, clean pocket to throw from. And there's a few times he stepped up. That's the thing. Even when he stepped up, there was nobody there, which means that the offensive line is kicking everybody out wide. I mean, the line was really good yesterday, and nobody I've heard yet is talking about it. Everybody's caught up in, oh, Hardman did this, and Mahomes and Kelce, and Taylor Swift has a handshake with Brittany Mahomes, and like, I don't care.
Nobody does. Well,
a lot of people.
There's a lot of Taylor Swift football fans watching that.
Maybe don't care. But Scantling getting involved was big. Butker's automatic, continues to be automatic. Special teams was good. Hardman, the 50-yard punt return, set up the clinching score. Then he had a key third down catch on that drive. You know, McCall Hardman, I know you didn't get too riled up about it. My oldest son is more excited than you and me about it. He said before the game, he said, I think Hardman's going to make a difference.
I sent a message after the punt return. I said, I love the trade, by the way.
Right. And I did mention last week, everybody's caught up as a wide receiver, and I said he's probably going to be your punt returner and maybe even your kick returner, and he certainly has the capability of taking it to the house. So there's an upgrade there, and then he immediately catches as many balls in a game as Kadarius Toney does. So did that pretty quickly. So Hardman just got plugged right back in, and he's happy as a clam. You should have seen him warming up. We got there when the gates open at 1:30, seeing him warm up ahead of time, which is pretty cool stuff too. Watching Mahomes just flick it effortlessly to all these receivers. Hardman was absolutely just like a little kid in a candy store. He is so happy to be back. He is so happy to be back. He knows he'll be used the right way. He was absolutely not used at all by the Jets. And yet they have such a great receiving core and a great quarterback, right?
Yeah.
So let's hear from Patrick Mahomes. Let's go back to the Kelce stuff. Kelce, absolutely brilliant yesterday. By the way, Travis Kelce missed the first game of the year due to injury. Had another game where he missed part of it with an ankle injury, right? Kelce's on pace for 1,275 yards. No other tight end in the league is pacing for 1,000, and he's had basically a game and a half where he hasn't been able to do anything.
Yeah,
here's Mahomes on why Kelce had success again against the Chargers.
I think the main thing is the way he's able to recognize coverage and adjust on the fly. We always talk about it, but it's something that you can't take for granted. I mean, it's like almost like he's playing Madden. Like, he can read the coverage and stop in the windows and be open and be on the same page as me at all times. And so he did a great job, man. It seems like he does it week in and week out. And that's why he's the player that he is, and he'll be a Hall of Famer one day.
So my son and I spotted this. I said, look, there's three tight ends lined up on the right side. This was before Kelce got that long gainer. I said, look at this. They have three tight ends all lined up on the right side. They had Gray, they had Blake Bell, and had Kelce. And right away, my son says, this is a playoff of Madden. I kid you not. You just heard Mahomes say something about, like, it's like Madden.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest son plays Madden, and he goes, as soon as the play happened, I was going to say, that's a play right off of Madden. You send two tight ends vertical, and you send the other tight end right across the middle of the field. That's what they did. They sent Gray and Bell deep. That's usually a deal with wide receivers. They did it with tight ends, because you're expecting short routes with tight ends. That's the old genius of Andy Reid, right? And then that freed up Kelce to come across the middle wide open for a gigantic gain. It's just a lot of it's scheme, a lot of it's just being smart, as Mahomes referred to, knowing where to sit down in zone coverage, also knowing where Mahomes is going to go when he steps up. And you know that the first read for Mahomes is he's looking for 87 when he scrambles. So here's Andy Reid on the offense. We've been trying to tell everybody, chill out, relax, chillax. You'll be okay. This offense will figure it out. And yesterday, they were pretty doggone good.
It was a beautiful, beautiful game. I really, that defense is special with some of the players that they have there. And their head coach is calling the plays, and he's a heck of a coordinator and head coach, but he also knows exactly what he's doing with the defense. Pat had obviously a big day with over 400 yards. Kelce keeps getting better with time. Taylor can stay around all she wants. Rashee Rice, I mean, we've witnessed this now. I mean, you're watching him grow right in front of us here. And then Quez, the old man of the group, he had a big day today. And the third down percentage, anytime you can be 6-for-11 on third downs with the pass rushers that they have is something. And that tells you that your offensive line did a pretty good job. So Andy Heck and his crew really did well.
Yeah, I'm glad that Andy Reid mentioned that. Remember, Andy Reid's an old offensive line coach. He's not a former quarterback.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes leads the league. He's tied for league leading touchdown passes in a down year. This, if you want to understand the greatness of Patrick Mahomes, listen to this. In what has been a rough year for the Chiefs offense,
Mahomes leads the league in touchdown passes. He's third in quarterback rating. He's fourth in the league in completion percentage at almost 70%. He's on pace for 4,800 yards and 36 touchdowns. That would be automatic MVP back in the day. And this is and they're having a down year on offense. They're starting to figure some things out clearly, and we said that they would. And Kelsey, the big day. The offensive line played great. Rashee Rice is a running back in a wide receiver's body. I'm convinced of this. Every time he catches it, he runs with a lot of anger, like Pacheco does. And he absolutely trucked a guy yesterday. Now, the thing that concerns me about Rice is catching it and then holding on to it once he catches it, because there's sometimes he'll loose with the football. But, man, he delivers. When he catches it, he goes. I love that. He's the guy that has the upside. The only thing I can say about the wide receiver, Sky Moore had a catch or two. Sky Moore is Sky Moore, okay? If you're expecting more than that, it's just not going to happen, I don't think. Tony had at least the catch downfield yesterday, but he only was on, I think, 19% of the snaps. Hardman was out there for about as many. And Hardman was involved a little bit. Tight ends, of course, we know. MVS had a nice game. But I am starting to think that the Justin Ross experiment might have to wait till next year. I'm starting to think that it was a whole bunch of hype that everybody got caught up in. Like, every year there's a guy everybody gravitates towards in training camp. Like, this is the guy that's going to just absolutely be the sleeper. And the national people jumped on it because the local people were pushing the narrative. He's a physical specimen. He's 6'4". You would think he could just absolutely go up and catch everything. Yesterday, he was on the field. I was watching him a little bit closer than other guys. He wasn't open. I called it when they went for him in the end zone. I thought that should have been a no call. They both were kind of pushing each other. But he had no play on the ball, and he shoved off. And that was a 15-yard penalty. Now, luckily, they threw in the end zone, and Kelsey got interfered with, so they got it right back at the one before halftime. But that could end up costing the Chiefs big time. Would have cost them at least 4 points there before half, and been up 20-17, that pass interference on Justin Ross. And I don't think Mahomes and him are on the same page. And remember, a few weeks ago, he got four targets, and he dropped two of them. So I'm starting to think that Justin Ross just needs more seasoning, and then hopefully he'll be somebody that they can really go for, or not go for, but can target next year. Now, maybe I'm being wrong. Maybe I got to sit here and say, you know what? They're just easily working him in. And, you know, by week 15, Justin Ross is going to make a couple of big catches for this team and maybe even the playoffs. But he's not getting tons of snaps. And I think there's a reason for that. And they're not comfortable with him. And Mahomes is not comfortable with him yet. I just don't think that part's going to happen this year. Maybe next year. Another offseason. Staying healthy would be important, of course, for Justin Ross. So I think a lot of people that are waiting for Justin Ross to become like the number one wideout on this team, that's a pipe dream. You don't have a number one wideout on this team. You won't have a number one wideout on this team. Your number one wideout, technically, is your tight end. That's your number one. And then your other option is just, it's by committee. It's dumping it to Pacheco. It's dumping it to McKinnon. It's finding Noah Gray occasionally. It's throwing at Sky Moore a couple times. It's dumping it off to Kadarius Toney. It's looking for Hardman. It's Scantling on a rollout. None of these guys are going to have 1,000 yards receiving this year. Nobody's going to be close to it, okay? Kelsey's the only one that's going over 1,000 yards. That's it, if he stays healthy. So, and the Chiefs might not even have a guy that runs for 1,000 yards. And that's fine. That's fine. Mahomes might not throw for 5,000. Fine. They're 6-1. That's the important number. Despite the offense getting better, Patrick Mahomes not satisfied.
There's still just little things here and there. The first drive, the penalty, it just hurts. We play big games like this. Those could be really big. And then the second half, just here and there, just a little miscues here and there. If I can hit Rashee on that one when they're triple-teaming Travis, he's probably going to score. So just little things here and there that I have to continue to be better at. But we're definitely taking steps in the right direction. I'll just say the interception, just no one look at Quez, because that's who I was supposed to throw to. And he was probably another touchdown. So just cut him out of the picture when y'all look at it.
Mahomes, he's never satisfied, and that's a good thing. That's what you want leaders to be. Always want to be striving to get better, and the offense certainly stepped up. Second half, not as much, but then the defense came through, and Andy Reid on the defense in that second half pitched a shutout.
The second half from our defensive standpoint was a shutout. Spags is doing a great job with design, and the players are playing their hearts out. I give credit to all the coaches there on the defensive side, but when you have a shutout going against that crew, that's quite a deal.
There's Andy on the defensive standouts.
Batted balls all over the place. Charles O'Minihue, it was great to get him in the mix. It was a good deal there. He had a sack and, again, a blocked throw. Four sacks by our defense was tremendous. And the list keeps going on, right? So responded after the turnovers. Beautiful job there.
Yeah, the defense was great in the second half. Getting another pass rusher. Now you got more guys you can rotate in. Chris Jones played 86% of the snaps. He had a key series where he was out in the fourth quarter, and the Chiefs got a stop, and he got to rest. So that was important. Having Omenihu gives you a little bit more versatility on the line. Yeah. And Karloftis had a sack yesterday, too. Felix Udikiozama, you're starting to get maybe a few more snaps as we go slightly from game to game.
I kind of watch him sometimes. Like, he's not been getting to the quarterback, but he's been pretty consistent, actually, in the run, too.
Yeah, he has.
And when you've got all that right now, and it's a collective unit, he doesn't have to get to
that
quarterback and stand out in that aspect. That's maybe as he gets grows and gets more plays, he might. I think because I'm watching him, I think a lot of people are because he was the first pick for the Chiefs, you know, late first round. But it's a unit that's just working so well together right now.
They communicate very well. Yeah. You know, these guys have been in Spags defense now for a few years, most of them. Nick Bolton got hurt. I read a dislocated wrist, so that's not good news.
No.
But Jude Tranquil came in and got a sack, and he was one of the captains, by the way, yesterday. And when they rotate captains, if you don't know. And of course, Tranquil is picked as a captain because he's going up against his former team, the Chargers. I kind of figured he'd have a big play, and he did. That was pretty exciting stuff. And then Hardman, you know, Hardman's impact yesterday, 50-yard punt return that set up the game-winning or game-clinching score. He had a key third-down catch. Mahomes already trusting to throw him the ball on a crossing pattern. He jumped up and caught that one to give him a first down on a third-down play that allowed them to throw it to Pacheco for the touchdown. Here's Andy Reid on having Mecole Hardman back.
Dave Tobe had a plan for Mecole, and the guys blocked their hearts out for him, and he busted that punt out. That was a huge play, and then he came back and had a big catch. So welcome back, Mecole. And we only got him here on Thursday, so we'll keep adding stuff to his menu there.
One thing I want to say in defense of Mecole Hardman, because there are some people that soured on Mecole Hardman last year, like, well, big deal if he leaves. And I knew the Chiefs could replace him. A lot of people kept saying he's injury prone. He isn't. Last year was his first like major injury that he had. And he and my oldest son told me this. I didn't know about this, but I don't know if it was during the franchise, if you watched that show with the Chiefs, or if it was something he saw online. I don't know where he got this. But anyway, Mecole Hardman, he took a gigantic shot and held on to the ball on a key third down conversion against the Bengals last year in the AFC title game, and it was knocked out for the rest of the game. He was playing hurt in that game. He had missed a lot of time. He was trying to get ready for the playoffs. He had a unique, odd injury where it got worse after he had it, and later on that day, he ended up spending 10 days in the hospital because of this. I don't even know exactly what the injury was, per se. I know abdominal was a big issue for him there last year, too. So this is a guy that he played hurt. He came up with a big play in the playoffs, and now he's back with the Chiefs. And if he's healthy, he does add a different weapon to this team. He does. I mean, just on special teams alone. And he made a couple big plays yesterday. So, and all you had to do was swap a seventh for a sixth. It's like stealing.
Yeah.
It's just like stealing.
Absolutely.
And you're sitting there going, why didn't he use him right? So the Chiefs are 6-1. There were some Charger fans that were up close. They got tickets online, apparently, for some Chiefs fans that sold their tickets. There was a couple of crazy ones next to us in a good way. They were all painted up and everything else. So I was talking to this guy and his mom. This guy's probably about 30-something, and his mom. And they flew in from Los Angeles. They're Charger fans. They were sitting right next to us. So I was talking to him before the game, and the reason I want to share this is because I think it's kind of interesting. I said, have you been to Arrowhead before? They said, no, first time. And they said they're really excited about being at Arrowhead because they said this is a true home field advantage. I said, you're a Charger fan. You don't know what home field advantage is, do you? And they said, no.
Yeah.
They're season ticket holders. And I said, well, watching on TV, it looks like the opposing team has more fans than you do. And they said, most of the time, that's true. They said the Cowboy game that past Monday night was 80-20.
Yeah.
And
that's bad.
That is bad. I said, I remember seeing the Steeler game, I think, last year. He goes, oh, yeah, that was bad. And then Chiefs get at least 50-50 when they're there. He said Las Vegas is having some problems, too. Niners buying tickets when they played the Raiders before. Some other teams have bought up a lot of tickets to where the Raiders don't have as much of a home field advantage as they once had. And I said, you know what? And I don't feel sorry for those teams, and here's why. They keep relocating and leaving their previous city that supported them in the dust. The Chargers left San Diego for the beautiful SoFi Stadium, and they got to share the facility. And the Raiders have moved 1,000 times. It's hard for your fan base to always be there for you when you're not loyal to them, but yeah. You somehow expect them to be loyal to you. I mean, what are San Diego people supposed to do? Drive to L.A. all the time? And I don't know how long a drive that would be with traffic. I'm sure it's not great.
No.
There are a lot of people that soured on it, like, you know what? You crossed us. You stabbed us in the back after we supported you. That's how Oakland A fans feel now when their team's going to be moved to Vegas. So I get that. Now, it's tough to be a Charger fan when you have all the talent. You still underachieve. But it also got to be tough kind of as a player when you don't have a true home game really all year long. So they were taking videos and they were checking out, and they just absolutely were soaking in actually what home field advantage is supposed to feel like, and that was, of course, Arrowhead yesterday. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy when you see the games and they pan crowds in L.A., and it's like, oh, my goodness, man.
Yeah. Just because of how spoiled we are.
You know, they had the money to build that stadium, but the Charger fans are not filling it up, that's for sure.
Well, you can build a stadium, but that doesn't mean that you're going to automatically get fans, right?
Not at all.
And that's what we're finding.
That's kind of what we've seen in Los Angeles in the past, yes. Right? Like, it's not a city that's supporting NFL football day in, day out, right? Like,
why do you think the Raiders left L.A. after they were in
and the Rams and then came back?
Right, exactly. There's a track record there. So Chiefs are 6-1. They are the best team in the AFC. The Ravens are 5-2. They destroyed the Lions 38-6. Lions fall to 5-2. You know, I heard some Raider fan tell me, you can't forget about the Raiders. I said, you can now. They lost to the Bears 30-12 after they beat nobodies the weeks prior to that. The Browns outlasted the Colts 39-38. Browns defense didn't play well for once. New England, the shocker of the day, beating Buffalo 29-25. What is wrong with Buffalo? You talk about underachieving.
Yeah.
The Giants beat the Commanders 14-7. The Falcons win on the final play of the game to beat the Buccaneers 16-13. The Steelers are right there at 4-2. They beat the Rams 24-17. Seattle's, I believe, 4-2 now, or 5-2. They beat Arizona 20-10. Green Bay loses to Denver 19-17. I was talking to a friend of ours that was sitting next to us in the front row, and we were talking about how the Chiefs can go ahead and print the T-shirts after winning yesterday. They have a 3.5 game lead over the Chargers, and the Broncos and Raiders are not a threat, so forth and so on. And I said, you know, the thing is, we don't want them to be, we don't want, you know, we enjoy, as a Chiefs fan, we enjoy the Broncos losing every week, right? We enjoy the Raiders losing every week, but we want them to win a few games because we don't want them to be picking number one or two and getting a franchise quarterback. And as the guy next to us said, we want them picking around 10 or 11 or 9. You know, they could go 5-11, 6-10.
Yeah, exactly.
That's okay. We're okay with them having a few wins. Broncos get a win yesterday over the Packers 19-17. And the Eagles last night, Sunday Night Football, played well and really good defensively. Beat the Dolphins 31-17, held that high-powered offense in check. Monday Night Football, the Niners are at the Vikings. Fantasy football, I've lost again.
Oh, my goodness. I was doing so good, and then A.J. Brown decided to go off in the second half.
Did you lose, or you?
I lost.
You're playing my 9-year-old.
Yeah, I was in real good shape, and then all of a sudden they decided A.J. Brown's on our team.
Yes, 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 yes. And I'm sure my youngest enjoyed that. My oldest, he won again. He does better in this league than the one he really wants to do well in. That's kind of just Murphy's Law. That's how it works. Let's see here. How bad did I lose? There it is. Oh, wow. I only lost by, could be worse. I'm only down 24, and I'm done with my players. Calvin Ridley got me one stinking point. Aaron Jones continues to not play a lot, but now he played some yesterday, so I might think about putting him back in my lineup. But I'm going to be 1-6, which means I make sure that I stay in last place in this league. And then Dusty ends up, you did lose. You lost by 7. You lost by 7, so you're 2-5. And that means if we look at the standings in this league here, Cody's team, are they going to win here? Cody's team, where's Cody's team at? Cody. Oh, it looks like he probably will win. Cody's team has an 81% chance of winning. So he's leading Kale's team by 7 points, but he'll probably win. And Dwight K. Schrute from The Office is losing to my oldest son. The auto-picking team is getting destroyed by Alex's team.
And Dusty's worst nightmare, which is not Dusty's team, by the way, they won over Maddox's team. So, yeah, there's your update there. And waiter, check, please. There is no check. I owe money, apparently, as my fantasy team is now 1-6. I would trade my best players and just tank. I don't have any good players. I don't have enough good players to even give away, to be quite honest with you. So, yeah. The NFL, that's a wrap on that. College football, the K-State Wildcats, a convincing win.
Brantley here, two gone in the ninth.
Okay, I had this thing highlighted. Excuse me, sorry.
Head coach Sonny Dykes looking for answers to DJ Giddens. No response here. Giddens to the house from 61 yards out. And DJ can do it on the ground and through the air.
K-State doing what I thought is the absolute wrong thing to do, and that is rotate quarterbacks. But it worked in this game. 41-3 over TCU. That's why Klieman gets paid the big bucks, and I'm just sitting here trying to clone myself to cover all kinds of high school sports. K-State's 5-2 overall, 3-1 in the Big 12, 21-3 lead after one. They roll 41-3 over TCU. TCU's now 4-4, 3-3 in the Big 12. Will Howard, three touchdown passes, one to Giddens, one to Jace Brown, one to Will Swanson. Avery Johnson with a touchdown pass to Trayshawn Ward. Giddens opened the scoring with a touchdown run. K-State, 587 yards of offense, 10 of 13 on third down, which is incredible. And they had 29 first downs. Here's Chris Klieman on the impressive win over the Frogs.
We executed at a really high level the entire game because we executed at a high level all week, and it clicked tonight. And I'm super excited for our players and for our coaches and for our fans because that's a good football team. You guys know as well as I do, they're a really good team. And we were clicking on all cylinders to get, 587 yards and 343 yards rushing, and a lot of guys contributed.
So K-State winning it easily. Their defense was good as well.
We had a great plan, and those kids executed at a high level. One of the guys that does not get enough credit on defense, and he should, is Jake Clifton. We lost Romaine last week to an injury, so we said to Jake, now you got to go play a different position. And he had to play Mike Backer the whole game. It's really hard to play any of our three linebacker positions, but that kid has played all three in three consecutive weeks. And so I thought we dominated the game up front. They're really good. That running back's a stud. We needed to get pressure on the quarterback. We did. And I thought we covered as well as we've covered all year.
I was busy covering Substate Volleyball, so I did not on the video stream for Beloit up in Marysville, so I was driving back. I heard the game. I listened to it on the radio, listened to Wyatt and Stan, and it just sounded like K-State absolutely dominated. So give me a quick synopsis of what took place or what we impressed you or whatever else.
What stood out the most on the first play of the game, Avery Johnson's lined up at wide receiver. Like, who's starting the game? Both of them.
Nice.
And they ran a jet sweep with Avery Johnson on the first play of the game. So you knew that they were going to get him involved. And I don't know that I've seen that before. It was literally like, this is your drive, this is your drive. They were rotating each drive that they came out offensively. And both of them were having plenty of success. Yeah. They just went down the field. You think it's going to mess up rhythm, right?
Like,
but boy, they knew what they were doing going in, and they dominated that game from start to finish. There were some lulls maybe at times offensively, but it doesn't show because he scored 41 and won 41-3. But when this offensive line has really accepted some kind of challenge or something over the last couple of weeks, because they're really starting to find themselves. And, you know, when you can run the ball as effectively as they have been, then it opens things up for everything else, and you're starting to see the pass being able to mix in. And I don't care who you're playing in the Big 12, and you hold the team to three first quarter points and then shut them out the rest of the way, you had an outstanding defensive performance. So I think we kind of are focused a lot on Avery Johnson and Will Howard, but the defense had some issues, right? Like, and when you play a game like that, you kind of show that, hey, we're starting to improve on this side of the ball too. We're starting to figure some things out. Because TCU's, their problem this year has not been offense for the most part.
Right.
It's been defense. And, you know, it was both on Saturday night for the Horned Frogs there.
K-State will have a home game against Houston, and then in a few weeks they'll go to Austin to take on the Texas Longhorns. Other Big 12 games, number 6 Oklahoma escaped with a 31-29 win over Central Florida. Number 8 Texas beat Houston 31-24, but they're starting quarterbacks out for a couple weeks. That means he might miss a K-State game. Quinn Ewers. Keep that in mind.
Yep.
Baylor slipped past Cincinnati 32-29. Oklahoma State is red hot. They're 5-2 now overall, 3-1 in the Big 12 after people said Mike Gundy was going to be fired and the team was going to quit and players are going to walk out if they lost one more game. I believe somebody might have fabricated some things there.
Yeah.
48-34 win over West Virginia on the road. BYU won 27-14 over Texas Tech. In the Big Ten, Nebraska won a low scoring affair over Northwestern in Lincoln 17-9. Huskers are now above 500, 4-3, 2-2 in conference play, putting themselves in position to make a bowl game, something that Scott Frost couldn't do.
Yeah. Good spot right now for the Huskers.
They are. Top 25 games of note. Ohio State beat Penn State 20-10. That was number 3 over number 7. Also, so Ohio State just knows how to beat Penn State. And Utah just knows how to beat USC 34-32. Did you see Kyle Whittingham's comments after the game, the head coach of Utah?
I actually did not.
He said something, I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it in front of me, but he said, they've got a really nice quarterback and they promote him a lot and that's great and all. We got a pig farmer at quarterback and he's pretty good too. I was funny. 34, yeah. And they just, USC just does not play defense. 34-32, Utah doesn't even have their real starting quarterback in that game.
I like that dynamic of a Pac-12 press conference right now because everybody's leaving. Nobody
right.
has to
they
deal
can take
with
their
anybody
shots.
The rest of the time after this, right?
Yep. Oregon took their shots at Colorado, you know, Atlanta, as soon as they announced that Colorado was leaving, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, yeah, it's been interesting. So USC's lost two in a row. Duke loses, number 16 at Florida State, number 4, 38-20. North Carolina, horrible loss. They were 6-0-ranked top 10, lost to a 1-5 Virginia team at home, 31-27. Number 13, Ole Miss beat Auburn, 28-21. Number 20, Missouri takes care of South Carolina, 34-12. The Tigers having a pretty good year. UCLA rolls Stanford, 42-7. And Alabama, number 11, beat Tennessee, number 17, 34-20. Number 9, Oregon over Washington State, 38-24. Number 5, Washington struggled but beat Arizona State, 15-7. Number 2, Michigan destroyed their in-state rival, Michigan State, 49-0. Number 19, LSU all over Army, 62-0. And the over-under for points in the Minnesota-Iowa game was 31, and I would have screamed, take the under, and you would have won. Final scores, Minnesota 12, Iowa 10. Iowa lost. They had a punt return for a touchdown, and the official said that the punt returner called for a fair catch. Nowhere near did he call for a fair catch. He was just pointing for somebody to get away from the ball, and then he went and he took it to the house. And I don't want to go too far with this other than to say, he returned it, and the play was live. They didn't blow the play dead. So the play happened. Why can't you review that and say, clearly nobody called for a fair catch?
Yeah.
Like, no penalties are ever reviewable. And then people say, well, that's Pandora's box if you start going there. But if it's obvious to everybody in the world and it takes us 2 seconds to figure it out, why can't we apply it? Like, if it's completely obvious, why can't we apply it? I hear the whole moniker. I've heard it dear Lord. It's we want to get it right.
Then get it right.
Then get it right! You have all the technology in the world to get it right. That just cost the Iowa Hawkeyes a game. You know, Max is talking about how one player costs somebody a game at the very end of a game. Okay, well, Max might agree with me on this one then. The officials cost Iowa a win. That was a punt return for a touchdown. There was no anything close to a fair catch signal. What is the ref even looking at? Maybe his eyes should get checked. Like, I'm sitting here going, I understand if he started to raise his hand straight up. Now, you go back and look at the replay. There's nowhere where he's even remotely trying to do that. Like, how do you possibly think that's a fair catch? To me, that's looking out of the corner of your eye and then thinking something you saw. But if you can't think you saw it, you've got to know you saw it.
Yeah.
You clearly didn't see it because it didn't happen. I know officials have a hard job. I do. I get that. I said that 1,000 times. I tried to support the officials many times. That one could easily be fixed by technology to bail out the official. Instead, he's probably going to get death threats from Iowa fans because they can't score points, and they finally did on special teams, and they lost the game. Anywho.
It's insanity sometimes.
It is. Top 25, Georgia's 1, Michigan 2, the new poll, Ohio State's 3, Florida State 4, Washington 5, Oklahoma 6, Texas jumps up to 7, Oregon 8, Alabama 9, Penn State 10 after the loss to Ohio State. Other noteworthy teams, Missouri moves up to 16, and wow, the Big 12 only has 2 in the top 25. Is that right? Yeah, I think so. K-State's getting 16 votes, so they'd be 28th in the in the AP poll. KU got a couple votes in the coaches poll, if you care about that. The KU's got a big game next Saturday, or this Saturday, against Oklahoma, 11 a.m., pregame at 10:30, on Z96.3 The Lake, unless we have St. John's Tipton Volleyball, then we'll preempt KU football. Sorry, local first. MIAA football, Pitt State Gorillas, my Pittsburgh State Gorillas. Yes, I can say that. I'm an alum. I went there. They, but I don't play on the team, but I wish I did. They beat Northwest Missouri State 28-7 was the final. They stay undefeated. Washburn loses to Fort Hays State 31-28. Nebraska Kearney lost by a field goal to Missouri Western 20-17. And, yeah, that's the note. Emporia State got bombed by Central Missouri 77-27 was that final. And we end with the Major League Baseball playoffs.
Brantley here, two gone in the ninth. In this All-Texas Championship Series. And isn't it fitting that these teams that tied during the regular season at 90-72 still can't decide things through six games? This is how it's supposed to be.
Well, clearly the Astros have the advantage because Game 7's at home tonight. Oh, wait a minute. Every single game has been won by the road team in the Astros-Rangers Series. And now you got to start wondering a little bit, don't you? Remember the World Series a few years ago where the Nationals and the Astros, the road team, won every game?
Yeah.
What's up with the Astros not playing well at home in the playoffs? And they're so good. They've been to seven straight ALCSs. They are one win away from three straight World Series appearances. How can a team be that good and struggle at home in the playoffs like that? I mean, it means that they can win on the road, clearly, but it's weird.
It's very weird.
Aroldis Garcia with a grand slam in the ninth after he got ejected in the game five. The pitcher, Bobby Abreu, I think it is, the pitcher for Astros, he was suspended for that pitch that hit Garcia. He's suspended for two games, which means he'll miss tonight. They're appealing it today. Uh-huh. I mean, who thinks he's purposely trying to hit a guy? You know, wasn't a one-run game at the time? No, it was a two-run game at the time. Why would you be? I mean, you're trying to keep your season, going. Every pitch is important, and maybe he did purposely hit the guy because it was he became selfish. But that seems crazy to take away one of your best bullpen guys in a suspension, so you miss a game seven. But then people will say, "Well, boo-hoo-hoo, the Astros have cheated before and didn't really get punished for it, so this is their punishment." Which maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe it is karma. They're going to lose one of their best bullpen arms tonight, unless the appeal is accepted and they lift the suspension. But I didn't think there'd be any suspension coming out of that thing, especially in the playoffs.
These are not the times when pitchers are doing things like that on purpose.
Let's just put it
that way, right? Like,
right. Well, could be costly for the Astros. Max Scherzer on the hill tonight. I don't like that. Max Scherzer, he's a veteran, but he's missed a lot of time.
You have a short leash.
Very short leash. And the Astros have usually done very well against him. The road team's won all six games so far. Game seven is tonight in Houston. Max Scherzer for the Rangers versus Christian Javier of the Astros. First pitch at 7:03 on Fox. And NLCS, the Diamondbacks won two games in a row but lost game five at home. Phillies have a 3-2 lead. That series shifts back to Philly, and the Phillies can punch their ticket back to the World Series, winning today at 4:07 first pitch on TBS. Aaron Nola against Merrill Kelly. Aaron Nola has an ERA of .90 in the playoffs so far. So advantage Philadelphia, who has not lost a home game in the playoffs yet. So I expect the Phillies to punch their ticket to the World Series. I thought they already would have by now, but the D-backs surprised me a little bit, won a couple of games. And then I'm cheering for the Rangers to knock out the Astros. And I think everybody outside of Houston is cheering for the Rangers to win tonight and finish off the Houston Astros. All right, so that wraps up on Sports Ticket. Dusty and I will actually now talk off the air about our plans for what we're going to do with volleyball and high school football playoffs and do the best we can. John Bowden texted me and said, "I like to think we're a staff of 2.5 now." Oh, wait, is it 2.5 men? Wasn't that what the name of that show was? We're 2.5 men, and Bowden is the kid of the family.
He's Jake, yeah.
He's Jake. Which one is Charlie?
Ooh.
Ooh. Neither you or I. You and I fit more of the Alan Harper.
I'm definitely not the
We're not the womanizer
ladies man type of person.
Yeah, Dusty's not Dusty and I have been accused of many things. We have never been accused of being ladies guys, ladies man.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.